We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos, daf Mem Aleph. We begin at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahs of this Perek, discussing the halachas of Einus Mefata. Specifically, our Mishnah will focus on the difference between Knas and Mammon, which we have already illustrated in previous Mishnahs, that besides the Knas, that we penalize the Einus Mefata of 50 Chamishim Kesef, there's Baishis, there's Pagam, possibly even Sar for Einus, that there's a difference in halacha between those two categories, of knas and of mammon. So the Mishnah says, Ho'imer pesiti es biti shalplani. If somebody admits on his own, he says, I seduced the daughter of that man. Now the reason why it says the daughter of that man is because the father is the one that gets the knas. Now the Gemara will explain why does it specify only that he seduced the woman and not if they're talking about the case of Einus where he violated the woman. So that the Mishnah says, Mishalom Baishis Subagam al Piatzmi. Now, based on his own admittance, he pays the monetary law of embarrassment and of depreciation, but Ve'ein Mishalom Knas. For his admitting of this situation, he doesn't pay for the Knas. And the reason is the Gemara brings himself to Baba Kama, that what's called Maid B'Knas is Pata. Someone that admits from his on his own an area of halacha that requires a penalty of a Knas, he's exempt from the payment. Because the halacha is learned out from the pasuk that says, "Asher yashirin elokim," that which the judges will have made him liable. Now, that excludes someone that makes himself liable. If he himself admits regarding this penalty, he's actually exempt. So when he says that he did this act has two repercussions. It has knas and it has mammon. So for the mammon, you're chayiv. Hadas bal din is kamei edim dami. You're liable for what you're admitting to. But for a knas, that's a special gzeiras hakasim that you're exempt. So you will not pay the knas, but you will pay baishis begam. Similar halacha. Ho'emer ganafti, if someone says, I stole. So mishal mesaker nal piyatzmoy. So that's a halacha of monetary law, which is something that was created in actual realistic damage. So you have to pay for the principal based on what you admitted. But ve'em mishalm tashlumi kevav v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha. There are certain situations that could require a person to pay double of what he stole, or even four or five times, depending on the circumstance in halacha. But those are what are known as knosses. They're penalties. It's not the actual damage that you did. The damage was the principal. And therefore, if it's based on your own admittance, again, the mammon, which is the principal, the karet, that you will pay. But the kefil, or the dalet vehei, that the person will not have to pay. Similarly, hamish shuri as plain. If someone says that my ox killed that person, and therefore I'm liable for what's called as kaifer, which is an atonement for the person's life that was taken away, which you have to pay the value of the person. Or he says that my ox killed my friend's ox. So harezim mishal ma'piyatzme. Those two cases, he pays by himself, because when it kills another ox, that's actual damage, that's mammon, that's not just a penalty, so that a person's admittance is going to make him liable. Moreover, as Rashi points out, that obviously regarding the case of when he says that my ox gored that person, which is regarding kaifer, obviously this mandama of our Mishnah holds kufr is mamayna. Although it's machlokes regarding what it is, this mandama obviously holds that it's monetary law, where it's an actual liability, not a penalty, and therefore since you're admitting on mammon, you're going to be chayiv. Another case, the Mishnah says, Hamish Shayri Avdish Aplaini. If let's say, however, he says my ox gored the slave of that person, and therefore I'm liable for what the Torah says of 30 sloim for killing a person's slave, well then ain Mishal Mapiatzme. There he's not going to be paying based on his own admittance, because that is a knas. And the reason why it's a knas is because even if the slave is not worth 30 sloim, you still have to give that amount. Well, obviously that's a penalty, because that's not actual damage, not regular monetary law, and therefore it's considered a knas. So in that case, you will not pay based on your own admittance. And the Mishnah summarizes the halacha that zehaklal. This is a general rule. Anyone that pays for more than what his actual damage was, which, as we said, that's a knas, that he doesn't pay based on his own admittance. But as the Mishnah explained, there could be certain cases that actually have both inside of them, has knas and baishas begam. So then depending what's mammon, you will pay based on your own haido, and what's knas, you will not pay based on your own haido. Now the Gemara asked a question that we alluded to in the Mishnah. When it starts, it opens up the Mishnah regarding a person that says that I seduced this woman, but velisnei anasti, why doesn't it say that I violated? Those are the two categories, einus and mefata. Why do they just pick mefata? So that the Gemara says, loy mebayikam. You're right. Of course, the halacha of our Mishnah would have applied not just to pesiti, to having seduced that woman, but even by anusa. But it's saying a bigger chiddush even. And that is, Lay Mibaya Anasti, we didn't have to tell us the halacha of our Mishnah that he that when it's a case where he says he was ma'anis, that woman. The Lo Kapogim law, we're there that the rumor that he spreads regarding this woman, that he was ma'anis, is not as bad as a rumor, which is he's admitting to. He's saying this is the story that happened regarding when he was mafata a woman. Because seducing a woman means to say that she agreed. At least here, he's just saying that it was all his fault. He violated her. Now, there by the case of Anasti, which the Mishnah doesn't say, where since the begam that he's causing to her is not so great, so there we would say, the Mishalim Boishas begam apayatsman, we're there, yes, of course, then he could pay based on his own admittance regarding an area of mumen, which is the embarrassment that he had caused her by violating her, or the depreciation that he had caused now that he made it from a besula into ba'ulam. So then, of course, we would know that halacha. Aval pasiti, but the reason why the Mishnah picked the case of pasiti is to say the chiddush, when he says he seduced her, the kapogim law. He's causing some type of a depreciation here in her moral status where she agreed it was consensual. Emaloi mishalma piyatsma, maybe then we would say not to believe him, to establish this rumor that he's saying that they had this relationship, that he should have to pay the father. Maybe he shouldn't pay the father. Why not? It's not knas, it's mammon. Yes, but why should we believe him? Now that he's spreading a bad word about this guy's daughter because she agreed to it. Kamash Balan, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah then, not only by the case of Anasti, where he's taking total responsibility. And there for sure he would pay for the mammon of Boishas Begam. But even by Pasiti, where he's implicating her, that's the chiddush that still he pays the knas, he still pays the mammon of Boishas Begam to the father. Now actually the Gemara does say that masnitin loki haitana, that actually our Mishnah is not like the following Tanya, which actually goes with this point of what we would have thought. The Tanya Gulen Abraisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Eimer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he says, actually, Av Boishas Begam, Eino Mishalma Piatzmai. Not only does he not pay for the knas, because that's what we said, that it's Moedib Knas is Pater, but even by the monetary applications of Boishas Begam, he doesn't pay for that. And the reason is because Loi Kol Emenu. No one gives him the right to spread rumors about her that she was Mizana, Sheyifkin Bita Shablaini, that he should degrade the daughter of that person. You're right, he's going to be compensating. But who are you? Why should we believe you to say that you did this to that woman? We don't believe you because you're just one individual. And therefore, actually, he does not pay because we don't believe what he's saying. Now, on that Amalei Apabal Abaya, he posed the following question according to this opinion of Reb Shimon. He says, but let's say Nicha Loladida. Let's say she prefers to carry the rumors that this guy is saying that he did this to this woman because she wants to get the 50 kesef. It's financially reasonable for her to take the money and let it be known that this is what he did to her. What would be the halacha then? Would Reb Shimon agree that then he would pay a piyatzman because it is mammon, not knas? So that Abaye said, no, dimolay nichalei lavia. Maybe her father doesn't prefer. What, everyone's going to know this happened to his daughter? I don't want the 50 kesef. Who believes you? And this is what happened. So that, he continued asking, but let's say nichalei lavia mai. What would be the halacha? Let's say the father also prefers, he also wants the money. So that Abaye still answered, dimolay nichalei hula b'nei mashpacha. Maybe the family members don't prefer this to be known that this is what happened with their sister. And as Rashi explains, Bazin should not do something to establish, which is unsubstantiated, it's just based on his admittance, something that's going to be embarrassing for the rest of the family, and that we don't believe him, and he doesn't give the payment. On that he still asked, but let's say nichalu l'bnei mishpacha, let's say the whole family says it's worthwhile financially. What's halacha then? And that he still answered, he says, yefsha delek echad, b'mdin zayam, delay nichle. It's not possible that there won't be somebody overseas, somebody that's related somehow to the story, that won't appreciate this and won't want the money because of what's being embarrassed about their relative. And therefore, it's never applicable. And according to Reb Shimon, the person will never pay for the Boishas Begam because of the embarrassment that could come out of that. Now, the Mishnah said, related to this case of Pesidias Bita, which again, we differentiated between Knas and the moment part, the same thing applies, Ho'imer Genavti, someone says, I stole, the Mishalim is a Karen, that he pays for the Karen, but again, not for the Knas part. V'chulu etc., which the primary point is the etc., which talks about the case of where someone says, Hey Mishari es Ploini, which is going to come into the halacha of Kaifer regarding the payment of a person's life and regarding the different payments of when an ox gores someone else. So on that, the Gemara brings in the following discussion, which later on, one of the proofs will be brought from the case of our Mishnah. Itmar, we learned, Palkaniska, regarding the liability of when a sure tam, which means to say that it's, so to speak, still innocent, it's the first two or three times that it gored another ox, then the Torah mandates that the payment is only chatzi nezek, half the damage. So let's say the ox was worth $100 and there was $50 worth of damage. So there's a $50 would be nezek shalim. That would be the full amount of the damage, which is what actually a shor hamu'ud, which is after it gored two or three times, then it goes, and that depends on which opinion it's established as a mu'ud, but then it pays the full damage. But when it's still a shor tam, let's say the first time, it only pays chatzi nezek, which would be $25. Now, regarding that liability of chatzi nezek, there's a machlokes, actually, what category does that fit into? Rav Papa Amar, he says, palga nizka mamayna, he says, that it's actually considered monetary law, and hence, a person would pay it al piyatsma. If he admits to that, his ox scored that other ox, the first time his ox ever scored, he would have to pay. Rav Huna Berei de Rishu Amar, he says, no, palga nizka is kanasa. It's actually, you should not be liable, but it's a biblical penalty. Therefore, if you're made the knas, you're going to be potter, actually. Now, the Gemara explains the reason for these two opinions. Rav Papa Amar, he says, palga nizka mamayna, says, it's a financial obligation. It's something that, it's a monetary law. You created damage, you pay. And the reason is because ksavah he holds, stam shvarim, regular oxen, la b'cheska shimer kaimer, they're not established and presupposed that they're safeguarded. What that means to say is that if the owner does not watch them, that they shouldn't cause damage, there's no default position that they won't damage. Rather, the default is that they will damage. And that's actually, even a damage that's not normative, it's still, which is what the case of chatzi nezek is for, is only for keren, which is not a normal way, because for it to eat, that type of damage, or to walk, which are called regular and chain, that's normal, of course, for the ox to cause damage. But even that which is lav urche is still normal for the ox to do. Therefore, it's obviously incumbent upon the owner to safeguard it, because that's normative reality which is going to damage. Hence, there's the obligation of the owner to safeguard it. Now, therefore, this person who obviously didn't watch his ox, and that's how it gored, the truth is, ubedinu dimasham kule. Truth is, he should have paid the entire amount of damage. Same way you steal, same way all these halachas are benodim lachaveri. You have an obligation, if you stole, whatever it is, to pay what happened. Now, it's only rachmanuhu dechayis elevei, it's only that the Torah actually had mercy on the damager, meaning on regarding his ox. The akati lo yayay tur, because ultimately, his ox did not become a mu'id yet. It didn't do it that many times to have established a pattern that we know this is what it does. And therefore, okay, you're not going to have to pay nezek shalom, only chatzi nezek. But what is being paid, it's based on justice. Therefore, it's not a penalty. And therefore, chatzi nezek is a moment, and therefore, if a person is maidin, that he's going to have to pay. It's not a knas. Whereas Rav Huna Berei de Yeshua, he says, no, palga nizka is knasa. The half of the damage that the ox did to another ox the first three times is a penalty. And the reason is because ksava, he held, stam shvarim b'cheska shimakam. No, regular ox, in its own, without being watched, is considered safeguarded. It's not going to automatically do some crazy damage with its horns. Ubedinu delo l'sham klal. Therefore, the truth is that the owner shouldn't pay anything. V'rachmanahu deknase, but the Torah penalizes him, kihecha deninteri l'turi, so that besides the intrinsic safeguarding that the ox has on itself, that he should add more safeguarding on its already being safeguarded, because you see, it did happen, and because of that, we penalize you so that you're going to be careful, you're not going to want to have this happen again, and that's why you have chatzi nezek, but ultimately it's a knas, and therefore if you made the knas, you're going to be potter. That's the machlokes. Now, the Gemara brings a siman mnemonic to recall the rayas, the proofs, which tries to illustrate that chatzi nezek is mamon and not knas, and they are hizik. The first proof will be from regarding the damage that both the damager and the damagee play a role in this. Ma, the Mishnah in Baba Kama that starts with the word ma, and behemis, klal, these are the simonim. So tanan, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama, it says the following three-word sentence. Hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumen. The one who is damaged and the damager all play a role in the payment process, which means to say that they both lose somewhere. The damager is losing and the one who gets damaged is losing. Now, the Gemara's assumption is that what the Mishnah is saying is that both of them have a loss regarding the payment process, which is that seemingly what that means to say is because since The Sharitam only pays Chatzi Nezik. So the Nizik, the one who got damaged, loses obviously half. And the Mazik, he loses half because he has to pay half. So the Gemara asks, Bishlema Laman Dama Palkin Nizkim Amoinus. This makes sense according to the one who says that Chatzi Nezik, half the damage is monetary law. Well, Hainu Deshayach Nizik B'Teshlumin. Now that makes sense why we're including the one who's damaged in part of the payment, which means to say because although the guy should pay all of the damage, but the way the Torah defined it, because they were chas on the mazig, because it wasn't a mu'ud yet, so he's losing half of what's really owed to him. Now, the mazig is losing half because he has to pay that. So each one is losing something. But el mandama palkaniska kanasa, but according to the one who says that chatzi nezik is only a penalty, really shouldn't get anything, because actually an ox is intrinsically washed. There's no reason why he should have to pay for something that happened that was unexpected. But it's a penalty that the Torah made that, okay, but half you have to give. So, hashta delavdi de kashokal. So, if the nizik, even what he is taking, he's taking for free, he's not even taking what's really coming to him. So, b'tashlum and isa, so will we include him in part of the payment process? Where is he losing out? He's not losing anything. If anything, he's gaining half that he shouldn't even be getting. So, that the Gemara says no. Loi, nitzrucha. Actually, this that we're saying that the nizik has part of the tashlumen, it's not like we assume that it's going on the other half, which he's not getting, because you're right, all of it is a knas, he shouldn't get anything. Ela lebchas nevela. It's regarding the depreciation of the value of the carcass of his animal, which was gored and then died. On that half of the hezek, which he does get, that the Torah says that because of the penalty, he's getting half of the damage, that half gets depreciated from the time of when the animal dies. It starts losing value from the moment it dies until when they come to court. It might take some time till they get the bezdin and they get their time slot and they come there. Now, the halacha actually is for the chatzi nezik that we require the mazik, the damager, who his ox gored the other person, to pay. The way they evaluate the carcass, I mean, because that's how you evaluate it. If let's say the ox was $100, now it died, so okay, how much could it be sold as a carcass? They evaluated how much it was when it was alive, and now how much it was when it died. And they pay half of that depreciation. Now, but what the animal went down from the moment it died until when it actually is sold, which could be a week, it could be sometime later, the mazik does not pay any of that depreciation. Now, the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, the Yoreh Mebeis, learns it out from Sukkah. But what the Tana is teaching is what's called Pchas Nevela. The carcass, the amount it depreciates every day, every moment it's depreciating more and more because it's getting more and more spoiled as time goes on. That actually is a loss that the Nizik takes. Because although the moment it died, let's say it was alive $100, dead $50, by the time he sold it, it's only worth $25. That $25 is a loss that the Nizik has to take. He doesn't get any compensation for the fact that it keeps on losing value. He only gets half of the $50, which is $25. The more it depreciates as time goes on, that has no relevance to the mazik. And that's what we mean to say that the nizik, yes, he's not losing in anything because everything he's getting is nothing that he's deserving because it's all a penalty. But even in what he gets of the knas, that the nizik does lose out in b'chas nevela because the amount that it keeps on going down, he has to take the loss for that. Now, that the Gemara asks, on that answer that according to the Mandamah, Palga Nizka is Knasa, what we mean in the Mishnah Baba Kama that the Nizik has a part in Tashlumin is the Pchas Nevela, but that the Gemara is Pchas Nevela, that Tanina, that we already learned in the Braisa, and that is the Tan in the Braisa that explains the beginning of that Lashon in the Mishnah that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, that it says over there that the Mazik has to be, Mishalim has to pay Tashlumin Nezik, has to pay the payment of the damage, as the Mishnah there says, b'meita ba'aretz, in the best of his land. Now, there's a Tan in the Braisa that explains the terminology of the Tan in the Mishnah Baba Kama. That why does it use the word tashlumi nezik? Now, it could have said a simpler type of a vernacular that it should have said mishalem es hanezik, it pays the damage. What does it mean that it's tashlumi nezik? So that the Tan in the Braisa says is coming to teach us the melamed shahabaylim metaplim b'nevela teaches us that the owner, meaning the nizik, the one who got damaged, who's the owner of the dead animal, the one that got gored, he has to be busy with the carcass, which means to say, he takes the carcass, he has to be busy with it, and he has to try to sell it. Now the damager, he's what's called tashlumei nezik. What does tashlumei mean? Besides payment, it means that he's mashlim. he complements, he compensates for what the Torah was what made him liable. Now, if it was a tam, that's only chatzin, that's a give, it's a mood, it's all of it. But he only completes. He doesn't pay for the whole ox. We don't say, oh, you gored my ox, you take it, give me my $100, how much it's worth. No, he's mashlim the nezek. He only complements what was damaged. So if there was a $50 loss, it died, fine, I'm giving you $50. But everything that it kept on going down afterwards, that's your animal, that's not my carcass. You sell it and see how much you can get for it. And therefore, that's how we learn from the words of tashlumi nezek. The Gemara's question is, now, according to the Mandama that we just said, Palkin Nizke Knossa, that the words of Hanizik Vamazik with the Shlomo teach us the Aloch of Chas Nevelo, why does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who authored the Mishnayos, have to say two anonymous statements to teach us this halacha of that the Bailam, that the Nizik is Metabol Ben Avela? Because the words of Tashlumi Nezik teach us this halacha, because we see that the Mazik's not busy with the carcass, it's a Nizik, hence the Pchas Nevela goes to the Nizik, and the words of HaNizik V'Mazik B'Tashlumen also teaches us that what's the Nizik B'Tashlumen, not the actual payment, because all of it is something that he didn't deserve, but rather it's regarding Pchas Nevela. Why do we need two references? So the Gemara answers, that's not difficult. One is a reference to when the animal is a tam, and one is a reference to when it's a mood, and both are necessary to say that the halacha will only be tashlumi nazik, and hence meaning that it's the nizik that has to take the loss of the b'chas nevela. And the reason is, tam, had we only said one reference, let's say that in regards to tam, mishum darkati lo yayayit, because the ox that gored didn't become a mood yet, therefore, we wouldn't be that stringent on the mazik because it's just a tam. Maybe over there we said he doesn't have to also pay for the loss of the nevela as time goes on. But when the ox is a muid and you still didn't watch it after 2-3 times, then maybe we wouldn't say that the nizik has to be busy with it, and actually the loss of the nevela would actually be the mazik's responsibility. And viashmin the muid, had we only said regarding a muid that gored a few times already, maybe there we would say that it's the nizik that takes the loss of the b'chas nevela, mishum de kumasham kule. We already give him such a large penalty, he has to pay all of the damage, so we say that, okay, it's enough with that loss, we don't have to mandate that you'll also take the loss of nevela, fine, for that, the nizik will take responsibility. Aval tam emaloi, when it's just a tam and he's only paying chatzi nizik, maybe we wouldn't say that it would be enough, and maybe that the mazik would also be responsible for the b'chas nevela. Therefore, tzricha, that's why we need to have two allusions to this halacha of that the b'chas nevela is the loss of the nizik, the one that got damaged. And again, therefore, there's no question on the mandum of palka nizik knasa from the term of a nizik v'mazik b'tashlumen, because it's not a reference to half the payment, because nizik has no loss in that, because it's all gain. Rather, it's a reference to the b'chas nevela. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Tashema, let's bring a raya that chatzi nizik is mamen, not knas. From the Mishnah Baba Kama, and this is what we said is the siman of Ma. The Mishnah there says, Ma bein tam lamud. What is the halachic difference between when the ox that's goring is a tam, which only did it a few times, lamud that did it already a few times? So the Mishnah there says, first of all, shatam mesham chatzin nezik mekufay. First of all, the difference is that an ox that's a tam pays only half the damages. Moreover, it only pays from its body, which means to say that the nizik could only collect from the body of the ox that gored. And that is, if let's say the ox that gored was a real cheap, was not worth that much, and therefore let's say, but the ox that got gored was a really expensive one, and there's a loss of $1,000 now in the damage, but the ox that gored is only worth $100, and chatzin nezik is $500, there's a loss of $400. You could only collect as much of chatzin nezik that's in the body of the shor hamazik. However, umuid, mishal nezik shalim min aliyah. However, if the ox that gored is a muad, already did it a few times, then you collect the entire amount of the damage. Moreover, it's even from the best properties of the mazik. It's not just from the ox itself. You could collect from all his assets. The reason being is because by shor tam, it says in Shmos Chaf Aleph, v'chatzu es kaspei, that they split its value, meaning only from the shor itself, which is from the body. But by muad, it says shalim yishalim shor tachashor, that he has to pay, which means he has to pay from his pockets, even from his bank account. Now, the question is, V'loikatani, the Mishnah there did not say another difference. It didn't say shatam ein mishalma piatzmoy, that the tam does not pay when it admits, when the person who his ox scored that was a tam, he doesn't pay based on his own admittance. Umud mishalma piatzmoy, but by mud he does pay on his own. Now the question is, if it was true that palganiska was kanasa, it should have said that the tam does not pay, meaning when the one who has an assured tam gored and he admits it, that it should say he doesn't pay on his own because it's a knas, and moed b'knas is potter. But it should have said, but amud you do pay based on your own, because amud definitely is justice, that you know, if definitely he was warned and they had said testimony that he should watch his ox and he doesn't, of course that's going to be a pidin, that he's, which is a mamon as the galocha, and it doesn't make that difference. Obviously, chatin nezik is not knas, and therefore, yes, it doesn't say that difference, because both shor tam and shor amud, if you were moed, you would be chayv. Obviously, not like the mandama, chatzin nezik is knas. Nothing more says no. Tana v'shayer. We didn't say every difference. We learned some differences, but we left over some other differences. And one of them is regarding if you were moida, if you would be chayv or potter. That would be another difference between mu'ud and tam. Avad Gemara asked, like it asked throughout Shas, my shayer, the high shayer. What else was left over that it left this out? Meaning, it's not going to say a list of things and leave out one thing. It would just add it in. Must be at least two things that, okay, we're not going to say and list everything. What else was left out to say that this was left out? And the Gemara says, Shayer Chatzi Kaifer. What it left out is that it didn't say all the differences, because it left out another difference, that of the payment of half of the person's, of an atonement of killing a person. And that is because when a Shor HaMu'ud kills a person, then the owner of that ox has to pay complete kaifer, meaning an atonement of the entire value of the person that was killed. Whereas a tam that kills, even half of the life of the person that was killed, we do not pay what's called chatzi kaifer, which would be seemingly the correlation of what it should be chayv, as it is by damages, where it pays chatzi nezik. It doesn't pay that. The reason being, as it says in the Torah, it says bal hasher naki. Because when it's a shor tam, the owner of the ox will be clean, will be innocent, where the Gemara darshans and Baba Kama, it's innocent even the owner from chatzi kaifer. So we see we didn't say all the differences, because although by mu'ud there is kaifer, but by shor tam, although that there should be kaifer, we don't even say that it doesn't even have that, it doesn't even have kaifer, so it doesn't say that difference. And therefore it's not a raya that why doesn't it say the difference of ma'ida, because it has other things that it didn't say. Now that the Gemara asks, Imishum Chatzi Kaifer, if you're trying to say that the reason why it left out, if a person admits, which is different between Moida of a Knas and of Mammon, which is the difference between Mu'ud and Tam, according to the Mandama Palkaniska Knasa, is because it left out the case of that it doesn't pay half an atonement. Actually, the Gemara says, Lav Shiyuruhu, it would not be a proof that was left out to say that, oh, that's why I left out also the case of admitting. And that, as the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, is because Hamani, we could say that the Tan over there is Rabbi Yisrael Glili. The Amud that actually, he says, Tam Misham Chatzi Kaifer. Actually, Tam does pay half of the value of a person that dies through his ox. He has to pay half of that. Because actually, he expounds that word that the Baal HaShor is Naki for a different drasha. And that's actually for the value of the fetus. If, let's say, the ox gored a woman, and if the woman miscarried, that's where it's saying that the Baal HaShor is Naki, that he'll be exempt from that. And therefore, it wouldn't make sense to differentiate in that halacha by kaifer, because as Rashi explains, because even if you would say that, why doesn't it say that difference? Because by mu'ud it's entire kaifer, and by tam it's only chatzi kaifer, is because that's actually already included in the halacha of the reisha, where it said that a tam pays chatzi nezik and a mu'ud pays nezik shalem. So yes, what applies to nezik would apply to kaifer. And therefore, what essentially the Gemara is saying is that there's no raya for the teretz that we gave for the manda machatzi nezik that we said, no, it left it out. Yes, of course there would be a difference if you would be maida. But it left out also the case, as we see by kaifer, and that the Gemara says that it's not a raya. You're right, it doesn't refute that mandama, because we could say it's not Rabbi Yisrael Glili, but it's definitely not a riot to the mandama that says Shire, because the high Shire not necessarily did it leave out the case of Chatzi Kaifer, because maybe it's like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who holds actually that you are Chayav Chatzi Kaifer. And the reason why I wouldn't say that as a difference is because that's already included in the Zikin. Yes, the differential is always that Mu'ud is Shalim, and that by Tam is Chatzi, and therefore what it says to Nezikin, of course, would apply to Kaifer, that would be Kaifer Shalim for Mu'ud, and Chatzi Kaifer for the case of Tam. But be that as it may, it didn't refute the mandam of Chatzin Nezik is Knas. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Tashma, and this word comes relevant to our Mishnah. A raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if someone says, "Hey, Mishari is plenty," my ox, I'm telling you the truth, he gored that person, or the ox of that person. So the halacha our Mishnah said is Harizu Mishalma Piatzmi. So he has to pay based on his own admittance, because obviously that's halacha of mammon. Now, my love b'tam, aren't we talking about even the case of tam, which is chatzi nezik? Now, Rashi points out that although one of those two cases that we're discussing is where he says, hey, mishari es plaini, where my ox gored that person, where that would be a liability of kaifer. But if we're talking about tam, tam does not pay kaifer, it's only mu that pays kaifer. And that Rashi says, no, we would be saying that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Saglili, who we just pointed out before, says that tam pays chatzi kaifer. But be that as it may, we see a case of where he says that my ox gored that person's ox, which in the case of chatzi nezek, we're saying he's mishalma piatzmoy, so you see that chatzi nezek is mamon not knas. I think Mar says no, right? Loi, but mu'ud. It's talking about a case of when there was a mu'ud, which is nezek shalom. Nezek shalom is mamon. That's a regular financial obligation. There, where a person admits he has to pay. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, wait a second. Avol b'tamai. What are you saying would that be the halacha according to you, who you want to say chatzi nezek is knas? What would the halacha be? You would say that ain't a mishalma piatzmoy, that he wouldn't pay based on his own admittance because it's a knas, and moedim knas is potter. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, are the tani sefer, then instead of the sefer, the Mishnah is saying, a contrast, as we pointed out in the Mishnah started speaking about certain cases which has in it both a knas variable and a mammon variable. So we said if someone admits, he'll be chayav for the mammon and then for the knas, and not for the knas. But then we said two opposite cases, two cases of that when he's going to admit he's going to be chayef for his admittance, then is it a case of that he's not going to be chayef? What was the case that the Mishnah said, a case that if he admits he's not going to be chayef? It said, Avdu Shel Plaini, says, if let's say that my ox gored the slave of that person. So that the Mishnah said, then ain't a mishalma piyazmai. Then he's not going to have to pay based on his own admittance, which sounds like from the Mishnah that they couldn't find any exemption of a person's admittance only in the case of when his ox gored the slave. But that the question is, but niflug v'nisni b'dida, why couldn't it take the case of the reisha, which is always more of a chiddush, where even in the case of when there was a free person, meaning a regular person that was killed, or an animal, that even there where we said in the reisha, that you are mishalma piyatzma, even those cases itself, we could find the difference and say that there are times when you wouldn't pay al piyatzma. And the Mishnah should have said, when did we say that if a person says that my ox killed a person or injured that other person's ox, that then he pays based on his own testimony? That's only b'muid, which as we explained before, that's mamin. Aval tam, ain't a mishalma piyatzmai. But if it's a tam, then he wouldn't pay based on his own testimony, because we're going like the man of Apalkanis Kiknasa, where if you might have a knasa, you're potter. So why did it say another case? It should have said in this case itself, when it's a tam, he would be exempt. So I think my answer is that's not a question, but it's kula, but mu'ud kamayri. The Mishnah is talking about all cases of mu'ud. In other words, the Mishnah wants to teach us chidushim in mu'ud, that even in the case of mu'ud, there is a chiluk, because we could find the case where even though it's a mu'ud, you would not pay based on your own testimony. And what's that case? That's when it gored a slave. Now, because if it would say, like the questioner is asking, that it should say a case of tam, but then that would also be losing one of the important variables, because the Reisha was talking about a mu'ud, and then the Sefer would be changing that to tam. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, what would be the difference? As if you're saying, what do you mean? Why go to another case? And so, you know, you could have said in Ben Chayrin and Ashar, why go to Eved? Obviously, not like Palginez Kiknasa. No, because if we're talking about mu'ud, what's the difference if we would change by the Nizik, who's being damaged, to jump from a Ben Chayrin to an Eved? What's the difference if you're jumping from the Mazik, where it's from a Mu'id to a Tam? In other words, since we want to teach the primary Chiddush of Mu'id, which is even though it's a Mu'id, and yes, of course, then it's Mammon, and then if you're Moida, you can have to pay, we wanted to say that even a Mu'id, you're going to be exempt when you admit based on yourself, because that's the Halacha by Eved. Eved is always a Knas. So therefore, that is essentially in the case itself. And saying b'med v'murma v'mu'id that you'll be chayiv is by a regular person or by a shur, but by never to be exempt. That is the same thing you would have to say if you're going from a mu'id to a tam, where you're going to be alternating who's the case. In other words, it's always going to be switching one variable. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that we wanted to say the Chiddush in Mu'ud, not the Chiddush in the case of a person or a Shar. Where yes, we could have said that that's only by Mu'ud and by Tam would be different. But that wasn't our point. We wanted to say even in Mu'ud, there are going to be are cases when you're going to be exempt when you're Moidal Piyatzma. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya. Tashima, another Raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah concluded by saying, Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Whoever pays more than what he really damaged, for example, let's say when the gore is a slave, where maybe the slave is worth just 10 and you have to pay shleishim shalom. Or let's say where he violates or seduces a woman where he's not paying for anything really, it's just a penalty because boishas begam, that he pays separately. Or mitzi shemra, what did he do? He still has to pay money. Or kafel or dal vehei, which these are all more than what, he's not paying for an actual damage, which is what we call knas, in Mishalma Piyatzma, the Mishnah concluded that's not something that you pay if you admit on your own. If you pay on your own, that's not Asher Shirin Elakim, that's why a person was Mashiach as Atzma, then he's exempt. Now the inference is, Hapochis Mimasha Hizik, but let's say what he's paying is actually less than the damage. For example, the Chatzin Nezik of a Tam, where you're not paying for the full damage, you're paying for only half, then it sounds like Mishalma Piyatzma, then you would pay based on your own testimony, obviously indicating that Chatzin Nezik is Mom and not Knas, because it's only something that's more than what you damage. Here it's less than what he damaged. That's not Knas then. That means to say you would pay based on your own testimony. So the Gemara says no. Loi Tema, don't say to make the inference that, oh, it's only what more than what you damage, but Hapachis Memasha Hizik, but if it would be less than what you damage, then you would pay based on your own testimony to say that it's Momin. No. Ela'ema ha kamasha hizik. The inference you should make in the diuk from the Mishnah is excluding, if it's not more, but it's exactly like you damage, that's mamon. And that's something that you'll be mishalma piatzma. But on that the Gemara asks, if so, avapachas mai. So what are you trying to say? But if it's less than what you damage, then you're trying to say, ain't mishalma piatzma. That also would be that you wouldn't pay based on your own testimony. You still want to consider that knas. But if so, listen, then let the Mishnah say a more universal statement that would include that too. It should have said, Zeaklah, this is the rule. Kol she'ein mishalm kamasha hizik. Anytime you're not paying exactly as you damage, whether more or less, ein mishalm apiyatzmoy, then you don't pay based on your own testimony, demashma pachas demashma yeser, which that statement would have included both more and less and would have told us Chatzin Nezik too. Maybe the Gemara concludes, te yufta. Obviously, Chatzin Nezik is mammon, and therefore, since it's less than what you damage, it actually is a liability that is financially obligated, and it's not just a penalty. And therefore, if you would be mighty, you actually would be chayiv and not pata. But the Gemara does say, the hilchas of the halacha is pagat niska knasa. The half amount that you pay from a tam is actually a penalty. And the reason being is because, as Rashi explains, since every chatzin nezek is not by every type of damage that an ox does, it's only by something that's not normative, which is, let's say, when it damages with its horns. So that's not something that was to be expected to have had the owner safeguarded. And therefore, it's a penalty. It's a knas. And the reason is just because we want him to have an extra added measure of safeguarding his animal. That's why we give him the liability, the penalty of knas. And therefore, actually, if you were maida in this chatzin nezek, you would be potter. The Gemara wonders and says, Tiyufta v'helchasa? We just concluded from our Mishnah, from its statement, that it's a refutation of the mountain of Chatzin Nezek Knas. And then you say, oh, but the halacha is Chatzin Nezek Knas? And that thing more says, in yes. The reason is because time and ma'i taisa. Why did we refute the mountain of Chatzin Nezek? In other words, what was the refutation? Mishum de leikatan de kamash hezek, because we didn't learn in our Mishnah, which would have seemed like a more inclusive statement, that it didn't say that if it's not exactly as the damage is, which we could have inferred also, that but chatzin nezek, which is less than that, then that would be a knas. On that, the Gemara says that's not a refutation. The reason being is because loy psikle. It's actually not all. It's not perfect in the sense of to say that every chatzin nezek is going to be a knas. To say that including even anything less would be a knas, and that if you might be knas, you'd be pata. The reason being is because kiven the ikah chatzin nezek of tsroiris. There's another case of when the owner of the damaging animal only pays half the damage of a case of tsroiris, which is that when the animal damages as it's walking and then pebbles spray out from underneath its leg and it damages, The Mishnah teaches in Baba Kama Dafid Zayin Amud Aleph that the owner only pays chatzi nezek. Now, regarding that payment of only half the damages, the Gemara teaches in Masechtas Baba Kama that the Hilchos HaGemirah Law, that's Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai, which is a tradition passed down from Moshe on Sinai, that actually that Halacha of Tzrayis, which that it caused, it sprayed out some pebbles underneath its foot as it was walking, that it's what's called a Teilada, it's a derivative of one of the four Avos Nezikin of Regel, of when it damages with its feet. Now, just like Regel would be exempt if it causes damages in Rosh Hashanah in the public domain, so too Tzrayis would be exempt in the public domain. Now, what's important for our sugi is that the hezek of regal, when the damage is with his feet, that's not a penalty. In other words, that's very normal that an animal damages as it's walking. So regal is always considered mammon. And since it's the mamainu, since it's monetary law, which means to say that it's mu'ud from the beginning. In other words, we can only say there's tam and mu'ud, that's in the hezek of keren. When the damage is with his horn, that's not normal for it to do that. Therefore, there's this element of tam. But by the halach of regel, shein, it starts off mu'ud. It always pays nezek shalom. Now, it's only regarding tzrayis, although it's a derivative of regel, that's halach of Moshe Mishinah, where the Torah was lenient and only mandated a payment of half the damage. But since it is mammon, so then you would pay based on your own admittance, because it's mammon. It's something that financially you'd be obligated, not because of a penalty, but because damage was caused. That's why the Mishnah couldn't say this statement of whoever's not Mishan Kamasha Hizik as it damages, because there's this case of Tsrairis where it's not as the damage, meaning that it's less, and yet it's going to be Mamainah, where actually you would pay based on your own admittance. So, yes, although Chatzi Nezik of Knas, meaning of Karen, would be Knas, and that actually that if you were Maid in that case, you would be exempt. So why didn't it say Kamash Ezek? Because there's another case of Chatzin Nezek, which is Tzrayris, which has a different halacha, which is Mammon, where if you were Maida there, you would be Chayiv. That's why we couldn't say that statement only when it's more than what you damage, where there always is a case of Knas. That's what we said, but we couldn't say it Kamash Ezek because there's another case which actually you would be Chayiv based on your own Haida. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, now that we have concluded the halacha that Chatzin Nezek is actually a penalty, not Mammon, so therefore, we have the following ramifications in halacha. Hai kalba de ochel imri, this dog that eats a sheep, in other words, as Rashi explains, obviously talking about that it did it in a bizarre way, meaning that it chokes live sheep and eats it, or vishunra de ochel tarna gili ravavi, or a cat that eats a large rooster, mishunahu, those are bizarre types of cases. It's not normative for that to happen. And any bizarre type of damage that happens with an animal is a derivative of keren, but specifically keren tam, meaning when it's a shor that gores, which is what keren is for the horns, in the first few times, which is not normal, so which is that's what's called mishunah. So here also these cases that are bizarre, which is not normative, they pay half the nezek only, since because it's shinui, it's mishunah, which is karen tam. Now, since there are penalties, therefore you can't collect such damages in bavel. And the reason is because there is no smicha, which is the process of halachic ordination in the elders. There is no such smicha in bavel, and they're not called mumchim. Now, regarding knas, which is what we're defining is by karen tam, which is by any bizarre case, is called Karen Tam, the Pasuk says Yarshiun Elikim, that judges, halachic judges, have to incriminate the person, and we don't have that level of judges in Bavel, and therefore one cannot collect these bizarre cases of payment if such a thing happens, because they're including Karen Tam, which we just defined is actually called Chazinezik of Knas, not of Mammon. Now, however, the Gemara says, Avo Zutri Orchihu, but if let's say it eats up a small rooster with a cat, then that's normal. And that's what's called the mazik of shein. There's four. There's shor bar mava hever. And shein is a normal type of damage, where here it's eating for its own pleasure. Shein pays nezik shalom, the full amount of damages, which is considered mammon. And therefore, magvinan, that is something that could be collected above, because that's not knas. For that, you don't need to have dayan smuchim, and therefore that you could collect. Now, however, going back to what we said, the Gemara says, v'it tafas, if the nizik, if the one who is damaged, if he grabs money from the damager, regarding the case of when it is a chatzi nezik of knas, now instead of trying to go to Bezdin and try to get his claims heard in Bezdin, the courts, He just grabs from you damage me half the damages of a shared tam or one of these bizarre type of cases. He grabs money from the mazik. Halacha actually is loy mafkinim minu. We do not remove the money from the nizik who grabbed from the mazik, and he could hold on to the chatzi nizik that he took from the mazik. Moreover, ve'i, let's say he doesn't grab money from the mazik. But Amar, he tells us, to us the bezin, he says, ikfu li zimnu la'eretz Yisrael. I want to set a date for that me and the mazik, who I'm saying he owes me money, for us to go in front of the judges of Eretz Yisrael, because they are Dayan Mismuchim, and they could educate a halachic case of penalty. So then Mekfinalei, then we set a time that the mazik should have to go with him to be liable for this chatzi nezik of knas. And ve'iloy ozel, and if the owner of the shor hamazik does not go with him, or of this bizarre dog or cat, mishantinle, so we excommunicate him. Now, besides that, the Gemara says, benkach u'benkach, whether he wants, the nizik wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, whether he doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, still mishamtinile, we put pressure, we excommunicate the mazik, however, that he has to kill the dog and to remove this damaging element from the environment. Daminile, solik hazikah, because we tell him you have to get rid of this element that's damaging. It did some bizarre thing that it ate a sheep. It's some type of a mazik, and we say you have to get rid of it, you have to neutralize it. And that we know mid Reb Nosson. From Reb Nosson, the Tanakh, Lunar Braisa, Reb Nosson Aim, he says, Minayin Shle Gadol Odom Kelav Rabatech Beis. How do we know that a person should not bring up an evil dog in his house? And V'lo Yamet Sulam Ru'u Betech Beis, he shouldn't have a shaky ladder in his house. These are all damages waiting to happen. Shnem, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, V'lo Yisasim Damim Beveisech, you should not place blood in your house. What does that mean? Shouldn't have elements that could potentially cause harm, and therefore we put pressure on this person that he has to at least get rid of and neutralize this dangerous force. Hanulach Elonairis, we shall return to you the third parak of Masechtas Ksubas, parak Elonairis, and with that we begin the fourth parak in Masechtas Ksubas, parak Nairish and Espatata, which continues on the theme of the previous parak, which talks about halachas of Oynes Umafata. So the Mishnah tells us, Nairish and Espatata, a Naira that was seduced by a man to have bia. So as we mentioned in previous parak, that there are a few different payments that are awarded to the woman. So the halach is that b'shasa, the amount of embarrassment that she got from this, or pigma, and of the depreciation that she has now that she's not a besula anymore, uknasa, and the penalty that the Torah awards to the woman that was seduced, shalavia, as we mentioned in the previous parak, they go to the father. Vatsar, and the amount of pain that she had, which we said was pisa graglayim, that also goes to the father, betfus, in the case of when she was violated, when that's the case of anusa. And as Rashi points out, the reason why we use the term tfus is that's the term of the pasig, which has betavs of a shachavima, that he grabs her and he lays with her. That's the case of anusa, when you have the added element of tsar, which is not by mafuta, that also goes to the father. So again, as we said in the previous parak, these monetary payments are awarded to the father. However, the Mishnah explains the specifics of this halacha. If, let's say, they had the court case before the father died, so then, as we said before, they are the fathers. The father is awarded that money. But let's say, after they had the court case, and let's say before the amount was paid up, but they already decided that this person has to pay this amount. So if the father dies, so it goes to the brothers, meaning the brothers of this woman who was violated or seduced. Her father gets those awards, and after the court case, if he dies, so as in every inheritance, his sons, not the daughters, his sons inherit that amount of money that the father was getting because their sister was seduced. Now, however, let's say they didn't have get a chance to even take this case to court, and the father already died, then the Tanakhama says, Harehin Shalatzma. Then actually the monetary awards go to the woman herself. And the reason is, since they never even had the court case yet, it's not considered, quote, as we just pointed out this in the previous Mishnah, it's not called mammon, it's not monetary law for the father to be able to bequeath this as inheritance to his sons. Whereas the Gemara later on will say, enough memgilim and alv, a person cannot bequeath to his sons a right that he has that the Torah gave him in his daughter, which the Gemara will learn from Pesukim. And since this is only a knas, and these are rights that he has in the daughters, not monetary law yet, therefore, it doesn't go to the brothers, it goes to the woman when they actually take this case to court. Similarly, the Mishnah says, let's say, let's say they had the court case, and she didn't become a begeris yet. So then, as we said before, Rein Shalav. So the court case, she was still a Naira, so it goes to the father. Let's say after the court case, Mei Sa'av, meaning if they already had the Hamad Bedin when she was a Naira, so whether she became a begeris before he dies or whether she did not become a begeris doesn't make a difference. Harehin Shalach, and it goes to the brothers, because once there was Hamad Bedin, there was a court case, so at that point in time, was in the father and merits it. So once he merits it, it's already Mumin, then he bequeaths it to his sons, not to his daughters. But again, Lohi speak Alamed Bedin Achabagra, let's say didn't get a chance to have the court case, and she became a begeris, she already turned 12 and a half before the court case. Harehin Shalatzim, and then it goes to herself, as we learned in the previous parak, it's only when she's a Naira, the Nosin La Aviha Naira. But if the Nesina is that it's not the Aviha Naira anymore, then she's a begeris before the court case, it's going to go to herself. Rav Shimon Aimer, he says that no. He says, even if there was Hamad Bedin, even if there was the court case, if they didn't get a chance to collect the money, and before the collection, the father died, he holds it's still not considered mumin of the father to inherit it to his sons until it actually reaches his hands, as the Gemara will explain the reason for this. And therefore he says, even there, Hari and Shalatz, but even there it's going to be hers and not the brothers, because it's not mumin yet until it actually comes to their hands. So even though they already had the court case, it's not mumin, and therefore it's still knas, it's still rights that the father has, but it's not actual money, and therefore if he dies, the girl gets it and not the brother. Now, however, the Mishnah continues on top of Membezim and Alf, but Reb Shimon agrees, but regarding Maisi Adeha, regarding income that she earns, that she made when the father was alive, or Umitziyasa, if she found a lost object, then Afa Pishle Gavsi, even if she didn't collect yet the paycheck that was owed to her, Mesa Avar in Shalachan. If the father died, then it is going to the brothers. And the reason is because the moment she earns that money, the father already acquires and merits that amount of money. And it's not the same as what he said regarding knas, because there is not money until they actually have the court case and that the witnesses say testimony. And the reason being is because actually if the violator or the seducer would admit before the court case, that would be Moed B'Knas, and actually he'd be Pater, so you can't say it's Mumin, it must be, it's still a Knas until you actually have the actual court case, and therefore it's not Mumin yet for him to bequeath it, but which is not the case regarding when she earns something or she has Mitziah, where that's already reality from the moment that happens, and therefore, even before it actually comes into reality, Reb Shimon, who he holds it usually have to collect the actual money, would agree that it could be bequeathed to the children, and the Gemara will explain exactly how does the term of Avapishala Gavsa apply to Mitziah? Meaning when you find a lost object, who are you collecting from to say that you didn't collect and still it's going to go to the sons? But be that as it may, Reb Shimon agrees to that difference between Knas, where it has to be collected to be able to yashin it to the sons, and in contrast to Maisa Daima Mitziah, where already right away that it happens, even before she even gets it, it's considered Mumin for him to yashin it to his sons.